Revelation chapter 1, chapter 1 and verse 7. I hope when you go back and read Revelation by yourself, I hope what you've learned kind of just pleasantly, you know, the Holy Spirit can bring it to your remembrance and just bless your heart while you read. And maybe if we go into it a little in depth, it'll help you. Verse 7, behold, he cometh with clouds. And we looked at that last week. So clouds is something you would breeze over real quick. Great, I know what that is, moisture in the sky. And when Jesus comes, there'll be clouds around him. But it's a picture of his majesty and glory and his presence. And then it says, the next phrase is, and every eye shall see him. And we learned last week, God doesn't need our technology and internet. Yet that's always been taught, oh yes, see, every eye will see Jesus because of the internet. No, it's because he's the Son of Righteousness and God's going to turn the light out when he comes and every eye will see him. And so as you go through there, look at verse, here we go. Let's finish verse number 7. And they also which pierced him. And then tonight we're going to look at that one phrase, and they also which pierced him. So it says every eye will see him. And then one group is pointed out, those that pierced him. Now, we know that that's Israel. But I think what you're going to learn tonight is there is a lot in that statement. All through the Old Testament, it was prophesied that the Messiah would come and be nailed to a cross. They didn't understand the cross. All they understood was Psalm 22 and that his hands and feet would be pierced. What did that mean? Nobody knew until it happened, right? So in the Old Testament, it was prophesied that, and we know that the Psalm 22 is the crucifixion psalm. Jesus, and there's many more stories of people dying by being tied to a cross. As a matter of fact, more people were tied to a cross and they would just leave them there until they expired. But there were a few, and the Lord Jesus is one of them, that was nailed to a cross. And what makes Jesus' death unique in itself is there was no one who was whipped and nailed to a cross, or scourged, you would say. That only happened to one person. That's why we say no one has ever died like Jesus died for our sins. We know that Jesus wasn't tied, and that would have been bad enough to be tied to something and then left to die 3 days later till you finally dehydrate and exhaust and all that. But Jesus was tortured to death in our place. With reference to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 7, and they that pierced him will see him, okay? Then go to Zechariah chapter 12. That's going to be in the Minor Prophets in the Old Testament. Zechariah chapter 12. And let's think about that statement. What does God have for us when it says, every eye will see him, and they that pierced him? They that pierced him. Zechariah chapter 12. And look at verse 9, Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 9. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Now, this isn't a comforting, peaceful appearing of Jesus at the rapture to take us away. This is the coming of a righteous, just, vengeful conqueror that is going to finish the transgression of his people Israel when he comes. Here we go. Look at verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Watch. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. So this is Jesus talking, isn't it? Right? This is the Lord Jesus talking. They will look upon me whom they have pierced. So this is someone, all right, who was pierced by the nation of Israel at Jerusalem. He has gone to heaven, and now he's returning to Israel at Jerusalem. And when he does, they will see him. The pierced. Let's finish the verse 10. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. So we read in Revelation 1:7 that the whole earth is going to wail. All will wail. I think you could divide that into two groups. There's going to be some people, most will be saying, not him, no, and they will wail as Jesus comes again. They don't want him. There'll be another group here, like Jesus said, that when they see him, they'll mourn as one that weeps for their only son, and the cry, I believe, will be this, it was him. Because remember, they're looking on him whom they've pierced. We blew it 2,000 years ago. We missed the Messiah. They will mourn for him. So I think that wailing is mostly by people who will hate God and don't want him to return. And this group, which is their mourning going, oh, wow, has our life been a waste? God told us he was coming, and when he got here, we missed him. Because they'll look on him whom they have pierced. Now, that's Zechariah chapter 12. They'll look upon me whom they have pierced. Now take your Bible and go to John chapter 19. Go to John chapter 19. Every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him. I know the nails went into the hands and the feet. And then look else. Look at John 19. Look at verse 33. John chapter 19, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And look at chapter 19 and verse 33. But when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they brake not his legs. John 19, 34. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. So Israel crucified Jesus, but they couldn't do it, so they delivered him to the Romans to do it, right? The Romans did the dirty work, but it was because of the Israel, right? They delivered him. So Israel pierced his hands and feet, and here, to make sure that he was dead, he had already ascended to heaven, okay? His body was already dead, but the soldier took a spear, and they would run it up through under the rib and all the way up into the chest cavity. And then it was a piercing. Then when they pulled it out, the blood and water came out, which meant what? He had been dead for a couple of minutes, because that's what happens to the heart when it separates the water and the blood, and both of that came out to prove that Jesus was dead. So there's piercings in his hands and feet, and there is one piercing in his side. Now go to John chapter 20. Watch this. John chapter 20. And look at verse 24. But Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciple therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. But he said unto them, except I shall see, watch, in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. Okay, stop, just for a second. You know, when a wound heals, okay, if something stabs you, okay, and then it heals, right, the skin grows back and you get a scar, right? If it was healed, you couldn't put your finger in the hole. But that's what Thomas is saying. How does he know that in Jesus, who's risen from the dead and conquered death, that there will be holes in his hands? Not scars, holes. Okay, just a second. I'm not talking about gauge earrings, okay? That's garbage, okay? I'm talking about when you get run through with something, if it heals wherever it's at, arm, leg, you know, it closes, doesn't it? If it heals, Thomas said, I want to put my finger into the hole. And if his side was healed, wait a second, he said, I don't want to touch the scar. I want to run my hand through. Did you see what the word said? It says, thrust it into his side. That means he's expecting a hole. Okay? And if you're cut, or if you are opened up, or if you're shot, if it's healed, the hole closes. I'll say it once again, and then we'll move on. How did Thomas know that the risen Savior who had conquered death would still have holes in his body to put his finger and thrust his hand into? That's interesting. Okay, look at chapter 20, verse 26. And after 8 days, so this is another week later, okay? Again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Verse 27, and saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. So Jesus knew what he said, even though Jesus wasn't there, right? But can you imagine Jesus saying, okay, Thomas, I'm here. You can put your finger in the hole. I don't know if he did or not. I don't think Thomas did. I think all he needed to do was see. But Jesus is saying, reach hither your finger. Go ahead, put it in the hole. Once again, if it's a hole, it's a wound that has not healed yet. There's no scar there. It's still as if the nail was pulled or his hand was pulled off of the nail. Then he says, reach hither your finger, then behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless but believing. I don't think Thomas did. I don't think Thomas went, okay, I don't think he did that. I think all he needed to do was see. Wow, the wounds are fresh as if it just happened yesterday, and they're still there because the next verse says, watch this, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. So, think with me just for a second. We've looked at two passages in John where Jesus is risen from the dead, but he still has the wounds from Calvary. Still has the wounds. Now, our risen Savior today still carries those wounds. You say, are you sure? Now take your Bible and go to Revelation chapter 5 and watch. Revelation chapter 5. Now, we started in Revelation 1, verse 7, and every eye shall see him, and they that pierced him. So we're focusing on the word pierced. What does that mean? But look at Revelation 5. This is right before Jesus opens the judgments of Revelation chapter 6 through 19 and execute judgment on the earth. So right before he does that, he's going to take the book, title deed in chapter 5, from the devil. He's going to get the, he's going to exercise his authority, and look at chapter 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. Now, who's that? That's the Lord Jesus, right? So, no, this is the title deed to the earth. This is not the Bible, this book. And we'll cover it as we get there. But no man is worthy to read it, and no man is worth, nobody can even look on it except the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the Root of David. He hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Look at verse 6. And I beheld, watch carefully, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain. In other words, just like it was slain on Calvary, he sees the Lamb of God, the Lion of Judah, the Root of David, as it had been slain. Keep in mind, this is in heaven. This is obviously after Revelation chapter 1, but this is the Lord Jesus in heaven as people are looking in. Once again, a lamb as it had been slain. Interesting. Each word's important, right? Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. So this is Jesus Christ getting ready to open the title deed, and it seems that he is still... Remember in Isaiah 52:14, it says his visage was marred more than any man, M-A-R-R-E-D, marred. If you'd been at the crucifixion, he was beaten so badly, the Bible says, that you couldn't even tell he was a human being. Right? More than any man. So it appears that even Jesus in heaven is the Lamb as it had been slain, as he had been slain when he died for us on the cross. It looks like the wounds are still there. Now, I don't think Jesus is, you know, 40 days after he rises from the dead is walking around like a bloody mess. Okay, I don't think that. He's already shed his blood. He's applied his blood. But the wounds are still there, right? We know the holes are still there. I wonder where they put the crown of thorns on his head and beat it into his skull. I don't think there's blood all over his face, but I wonder if the punctures are still there. When they whipped him with a scourge, from the top to the bottom, I wonder if the cuts goes an inch and a half deep. Remember, we went over that one time medically. If you had to stitch Jesus up after the scourging, it would have taken over 2,000 stitches. So I don't think Jesus is walking around with blood dripping all over him, and he doesn't look like that. But the wounds appear to still be there. I think there's a reason for that, but watch. Now go to Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. It does not say, and I don't want to talk where Scripture doesn't talk, and I'll be silent where Scripture's silent, we'll speak where Scripture speaks, and I can do that. But there's speculations I have. I wonder if this is how come the disciples could be with him and not know it was him. How did, you know, Mary, he was in the garden with Mary until he spoke her name. And she said, Rabboni. Here in this chapter, earlier in the chapter, two men are walking with Jesus and he spends hours with them teaching them the Bible, and it says they did not know who he was. I wonder if it's because they're looking at a man, and I don't think his face was swollen from being punched. What appears to be there from the Bible is the wounds in his body. Well, I think his arms were covered and his back and his legs were covered. He had clothing on, so you wouldn't have seen the scourging. But I often wondered if the holes in the forehead were the crown of thorns. And obviously the holes, we'll see here in just a minute, the holes are still there. I wonder if that's how come they couldn't recognize him. And then they will hear later. Watch this. Look at verse 27. Luke 24:27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. So they still don't know that it's Jesus, but he's just taught them the Bible for an hour. I would think maybe a couple of hours. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, watch, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. Verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. I have no problem believing that Jesus could hide himself from them, knowing he was God. He's the risen Savior. But there's another part of me that says they've heard him teach the Bible. They're now sitting at a meal with him, and he takes the bread, and then he blesses it. Now, you can't tell me there wasn't something about hearing him pray. Then it says he broke the bread. There's only two people there. I wonder when he gave it to them, if they saw the holes as they took the bread. And there was only one that was nailed to a cross. And I think they went, oh, that's the one. It's him. And the moment they recognized him, I think doesn't it say he gave to them? And then the next verse says, and their eyes were opened. I think it could have been a spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. I believe that too. But if it was for nothing more than when he gave them the bread, then the holes were exposed. It's him. Poof. And then he vanishes out of their sight. Doesn't even, excuse me. It's just he was there and then poof, he's gone. It was him. Don't you think they had a neat night talking about all the Bible they'd learned that day, right? Now, I don't know. It doesn't say. I'm speculating, okay? That's my opinion. But I think it could have happened that way. So we're looking at, they'll see him whom they pierced. And I know, you know, I've got the song on, my wife and I, we've sung it on the CD here. We're the only thing there that's been made by man are the scars in the hands of Jesus. Take your Bible and go back to Zechariah chapter 12. Zechariah chapter 12, and let's look at something a little more carefully, and I want to show you something. Zechariah chapter 12, and look at verse 10. Now, we read that. I'll read verse 10, and then we'll go to chapter 13. Watch closely. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. We read that, right? So Israel will see him. And they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Now go to Zechariah 13, verse 1. Ready? In that day, that's talking about the second coming, in that day, there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. And watch what happens. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live, for thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord, and his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. In other words, all the false preachers are going to be taken care of when Jesus comes back. All the false teachers and preachers and false religions, Jesus is going to clean house. Look at the next verse, verse 4. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophet shall be ashamed every one of his vision when he hath prophesied, neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive. In other words, the religious satanic con men are going to be totally wiped out when Jesus comes back. In the Old Testament, they wore a rough garment, leather and camel hair. In our day, to deceive, they wore that to deceive. In our day, they wear fancy clothes to deceive. But either way, Jesus is going to expose it all. Please notice verse 6. Watch carefully. I'm sorry, verse 5. But he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep the cattle from my youth. Verse 6, watch this. And one shall say unto him, what are these wounds in thy hands? Then he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Okay, now the word in chapter 12, it was pierced, they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, verse 10, right? Then when you get to 13, verse 6, they ask Jesus, where'd you get those wounds? A wound, by definition, is something that has not closed up or healed yet, if it's a wound. Think with me, in chapter 12, he came the first time and they pierced him. Now in chapter 13, he's coming again and they say, look at his wounds, they're still open after 2,000 years. Isn't that amazing? And then he said, I got these wounds in the house of my friends. He came unto his own and his own received him not, right? He came to Israel and the Jews rejected him. So I think I'm gonna just give you a thought, and I've got more to the Bible study tonight, but I think we're gonna end here because I really want you. This has blessed my heart. Could it be that we are so ungrateful and our faith is so weak that it will, our faith being so weak will require us to see what our sin cost Jesus on the cross, and he'll show it to us when he comes again. If the rapture happens today, when we see Jesus, the wounds are still there. Through the tribulation period, 7 years, when he comes again, Israel says, what are those wounds in your hands? Are we so proud that we just can't read and they crucified him? It doesn't talk about them driving each nail. It does say, and they scourged him. You've got to think your way into that. And I've often wondered, what will it be like to see Jesus for the first time? And I've often thought, I don't know, because I haven't seen him yet. But if he holds out his hands, I'll see the scars. And that's what I cost him. He got those holes in his feet, in his hands, in his forehead. He got all of that because of me. And I think the Bible says those wounds are still open. They've not closed. I'm not giving anything spooky. I'm trying to show you, if you dive into the statement, have you ever thought down? As a matter of fact, let's go to Psalm 51, and it says by his stripes we are healed. That was the scourging. But according to Zechariah, the wounds are still there. His stripes healed us, so we could be saved. His stripes have not healed yet. I don't know. I know this is a devotional truth, but look at Psalm 51. Ready? You're there, and look at verse number 1, and I just wanted to just read this, just not all of it, but have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You only confess your sins to God when you know you're dirty. And if you ain't that bad, you don't confess things to God, because there's others that are worse than you. And I think tonight, as you get to think about once again what Jesus went through, any time you can get to the cross and Calvary, it helps your Christian life. Helps you reset. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1. Let's read it one more time. Verse 7, Revelation 1:7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. And the word amen means, so be it. That's exactly the way it'll be. Tonight, all we did was we took one phrase. And I don't know if you would have got it. Maybe if you already knew this ahead of time, bully for you. Okay, I did not. But I thought, And, you know, we've sung the song. It's a pretty song. The scars in the hands of Jesus, but they're not scars. And they're not marks. They're wounds. You say, well, when do they close? I don't know. I just know when he comes again, we'll see them. And I can't help but wonder how heart-softening that'll be for us when we get to see what our sin cost him and what I put him through so I could live eternally with him. And I don't think he's going to have to say at all, I love you. His presence will be saying it. This is what I did for you. Now what did you do for me? And I think we'll fall at his feet. And we'll fall flat and say, I'm here because of you. What a God. What a wonderful thing. And they that pierced him. Let's pray. Father, please use this. And Lord, I know how you've blessed my heart with this truth. Thank you for your word.